Got to be clear on this point. John 1, verse 11, he came to his own, speaking of Christ. And those who were his own did not receive him, that's the Jews. But, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So you see, believing him and receiving him are the same thing here. Parallel. Verse 13. Okay, then he speaks of these that believe on him, who were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. They were born of God. Who's born of God? Those who truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who are born of God have his seed, as it says in 1 John, in them. In other words, they have become a new creature. They have a new heart. And although we're not perfect yet, we have this hope in us. You see how all these four points all relate. They're kind of like the same thing. Because the Lord has bestowed His love upon us, God has bestowed upon His love us, we're children of God. We're children of God because we're born again. Because we're born again, we have this hope in us of perfection that God has promised that He will accomplish in us. And because we have that hope in us, we purify ourselves. Because we're born again, we're livingly connected to Christ. And we've been delivered from the devil. All of this summed up in the idea that we are born again. And the born again believer does not love sin. The born again believer hates sin. He has a new nature. He's a new creation. And when there is the temptation to sin, there is a wrestling in the heart that is not true in the unbeliever. The unbeliever does not have it. A true believer does. And ultimately, he cannot sin because he's born again. He has a new nature. He loves the law of God. The law of God has been written on his heart. When he reads the Bible, he says, yes, that's what I want to be like. But I'm not like that. I want to be like that. Lord, change me and make me like that. Forgive me because I wasn't like that this morning when I talked to my wife or I did this or I did that. Forgive me for that sin. Cleanse me of that sin. Change me so that I won't be like that anymore. A believer doesn't do that because someone on the outside makes him do that. A believer does that because they have the Holy Spirit on the inside. They've been born again. They're changed. They have to do that because that's what they are. They're children of God. And our attitude towards sin, generally, is a clear reflection of whether or not someone is born again or not. And again, this is something you have to measure in your own heart. Do you hate sin or do you love sin? Do you confess sin? Do you turn from sin? Do you abhor it in yourself? Are you convicted by it? Do you want to be truly in your heart? Do you want to be like Christ? Is that the greatest thing that you desire? I will tell you, a Christian wants to be holy more than they want money, more than they want pleasure, more than they want a good life, or a good retirement, or a good job, or a family, or anything else. A true believer wants to be holy above all else. So much so that he would be willing to give up everything to be like Christ. Does anybody have any questions, comments? Yes.
I was just thinking how, really looking back at our forefathers and the fall of the Garden of Eden, and they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we now have right to remove that curse. And what a beautiful thought when we think that we now have, the curse has been reversed, and now we have access to the tree of knowledge.
Correct. And we have the hope of eternal life. Even though we're still at certain levels living under the curse, we have been changed. And we have eternal life. And we have that hope. And that's the mark of a true believer. And next week, Lord willing, then we'll look at the second half of this chapter and where it talks about love of the brethren. A true believer loves other believers. Now, a true believer loves people generally, but especially loves the brethren. Loves the church, loves the people in the church. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. I pray truly that you would work in each of our hearts according to your mercy and grace. I pray that you would work in our lives and change us and make us into the image of Christ. And I pray, Lord, as we consider our own lives, as each one of us examines our own hearts and our own lives, I pray that you would make clear the state of each soul. Lord, those who know you and who walk with you and abide in you, I pray truly that you would grant them true assurance of salvation. Those who do not know you and those who live in sin and love sin and walk in sin, I pray that you would convict them. And I pray that you would cause them truly to turn to Christ in repentance, forsaking their sin and embracing the forgiveness and the salvation that is in the Lord Jesus. We thank you for all your promises and all your blessings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Editor's note, there was an error recording this sermon today and we only caught the last 5 minutes of it. We apologize for the inconvenience.